You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We've seen what you can do. Wonders, your power has no end. The things you've done before, in greater measure, you will do again. 'Cause there's no.
Welcome to Wednesday Live, a production of WCNO Christian Radio, sponsored in part by Treasure Coast Christian Alliance. David wrote in Psalm 145, verses 11 and 12, "They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom." That's the vision of Wednesday Live, to edify, inspire, to comfort, to encourage, and to bless you. Let's see what God has in store for us today.
And good morning. Welcome. Wednesday Live is now here. Yes, it is 11:01. Great to have David in the studio this morning. David, how are you?
Always glad to be here. I'm great. Thank you.
You are great.
Well, that's my opinion.
Okay.
You know.
Do we get to vote?
Well, you could. Sure. Everybody's voting these days.
Yeah. Karen, welcome.
Hi.
You're
good
back.
Morning. I'm back.
Yeah. You're back. Yeah. Last week it was, it was a big discussion that you were not with us.
Yes, and it seems that you managed without me.
But barely.
Happy,
just barely.
Happy to.
You were not watching closely to see exactly what happens in your absence. But welcome back. Welcome back.
Yeah, thanks.
Did you get all refreshed?
I did.
You did.
Yes.
Very good. Very good.
Do I look refreshed? No.
Well, you do look like you are fully awake today.
Okay,
so the first arrival, I wasn't sure, but
yeah, still a little groggy.
You're still coming. Well, that's flights, jet lag, time zones.
Jet lag from Boston.
Yeah, really.
I did find out that you did not eat lobster and shrimp while you were up there, so I'm really
absolutely
disappointed.
Correct.
I'm disappointed you wasted that opportunity.
Yeah.
But anyway, amen. And we want to welcome Brenda McMiniman to our studio as well this morning. Brenda, welcome. Great to have you with us.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be here.
And we're going to have some programming coming up shortly. We're going to be talking a little bit about that. And I think we have something called Constitution Day.
That's this Saturday.
This Saturday. And of all things, we're going to be... having you with us today as we think about Constitution Day. I think you know a little bit about that, don't you?
I enjoy learning.
Amen. Sure. So we're going to be sharing. Well, we want to welcome all of you, and we want to just let you know that when you send us your prayer request, you can go to our website, WCNO, at WCNO.com. There you can send us an email, or you can go to WCNO.com. And you can leave prayer requests, praise reports, and we do get those, and we are happy to join with you in prayer. Matter of fact, I just received a note that I was not aware of. One of our business partners, Jamie Vidal, that has the cleaning business, they have had a very serious illness in her family over the last year. And so we are going to want to lift up their family in prayer this morning. And I'm going to ask that Karen does that in a little bit. But I think we have a little mail. Karen, what do you have?
Well, we just have a note here. I think this is from, is this Roger or Robert?
It's Robert.
Robert in Vero Beach.
So that's some of the, it's not moldy, but it's oldie. Mail. It's like a week old or 2 weeks old, something like that. Maybe 2 weeks.
Well, being that there's no date on it, I guess you knew that because you're the one that opens the mail.
Yes. But share it with us because it's an important topic I wanted to address this morning.
Yes, and Robert writes, some mornings when I tune into your station, there is no one, just static noise. Every time I can, or evening time, I can pick up regular airing of programs. And on occasion, J. Vernon McGee is not airing. Mm.
So you can address that, Karen, as far as J. Vernon McGee, and we are looking at that.
Yes, we're looking at that, and thank you to Liam, who originally brought that to our attention.
We're going
to
fortify the timing of that program.
Exactly, mm-hmm. And what happened is that music was dropping in before the program, which it's not supposed to
without permission.
Do. Yes.
Yes.
It just decided it wanted to play a couple of songs, so of course it pushed the program further down in the half hour, so the entire program didn't air. And
we apologize for that.
Yes, exactly. So we're going to remedy that.
We will.
Make sure it doesn't happen again.
And it's great that Liam pointed out that he was able to go to the second airing in the evening,
right,
and catch up on that. And so that's always good to know if there is a problem with a program airing. Most of our morning programs are going to be on again, and you can listen to many of those in the afternoon, and that's quite beneficial. And if you're not sure which ones, you can go to our website and you can pull up our program guide, and then you'll be able to understand that. However, on a more technical note, we have had some issues with equipment. And we have talked about this some. Our station is 32 years young, and God has blessed us over these years with some great endurance for our equipment, really. Some of this equipment is 32 years old. And then someone told me, well, you know, some of that stuff, it was used when we built the station. I'm like, well, I don't know how used it was, but the point is God has given us great life out of the equipment we have, and we thank God for that. I was out with the engineer recently, and looking at the equipment, he said, this equipment is very rare to find. Almost all of it has been replaced. Almost all of it has died. And so for us to have equipment that's this age and it's still working, we thank God, but we also know we're going to have to replace it. And so we thought we could replace this large, I'll call it a tube. It's a component for our broadcasting at the tower, and we did get one rebuilt, and so they remanufacture them. We had it out of the tower. And actually, we had pulled out the old one, which is failing. If you are on the fringe areas of our reach, you may have noticed that the quality is not what it ought to be. And there's a reason for that. We are operating between 60 and 75% power right now. And that's not because we want to. It's because we have equipment that is failing. And so we have a remanufactured component and went to install it, and the receptacle, if you had a light bulb and you had a you were going to screw it into a socket, that's a similar illustration. This large tube has to be plugged in. Well, the plug is seriously damaged just from age and from electrical sparking, and it was just all burnt in a very serious manner. And so we know that we have some things that need to be addressed. The engineers are working on them. And part of the challenge is that some of this equipment is not readily available because it's too old. And so we are at some point going to need to replace equipment this year. Actually, prayer and share, and I don't want to go on too long about it, but prayer and share this year, our totals that we need to raise are up, and there's a reason for that, because we are getting ready to be able to take care of this equipment and to be able to be strong and meet the needs as we move ahead in the future, because we believe God has raised us up to be right here on the air, I trust, until Jesus comes. And after that, I'm not sure who will take over. But our plan is to lift up Jesus as long as we can. All right, Dave, did you have anything with you?
I did not.
You
today,
did not.
No.
Well, let's bow for a moment of prayer and let's lift up. Let's just lift up this family that's had some sickness, and maybe your family's had some as well. Father, we want to rejoice in you today. Thank you for the life that you've given us and the benefits of being children of the King. Father, we are so blessed and being blessed to be in this nation as well, as we will be talking about today. Father, we thank you for all these blessings, and we lift up the Vidal family. We pray for them, Father, that there would be miraculous deliverance, there would be peace and strength, and Father, that there would be just a tremendous breakthrough of your love and your healing power upon them today. We commit them into your hands in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Well, prayer and share is coming, David.
It certainly is.
And prayer and share is what?
Prayer and share is what? Well, there's a lot of ways I can
It's long days, isn't it?
Well, it's long days, yeah. 7 a.m. until 6 p.m., mm-hmm. Monday through Friday for 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Although, God did open the windows of heaven last time. And
he
did. And we didn't do two full weeks. And I believe, brother and sisters, that this time, that was a watershed moment for us in our fundraising. I believe that was a beginning. God says, I'm going to do this
new day.
More and more.
A new day.
So really, I want people to tune in and be as excited
Amen.
As we are.
Absolutely.
About that.
Absolutely. So this is going to be taking place when, Karen? This is a test.
I believe it's October 4th.
You are accurate.
Did I get it right?
You got it right.
That I think is really, I had the 5th.
No, October 3rd is Monday.
Oh, come on. Let me look at my...
Or is it the 5th?
No, Karen, it's Karen, the 3rd.
It's the 3rd. Gosh. Thank you, David, for correcting us. So that was not correct.
I knew it was close to the beginning.
The 4th was month. Not correct, but the 3rd is correct. We will start on the 3rd.
7 a.m.
7 a.m. in the morning until 6 o'clock in the evening. And we will be looking forward to hearing from a lot of you. Now, listen, I know that some of you, many of you, mail in your checks and your donations, your responses early. And that is an awesome blessing. But I want to tell you a little secret. We still would like to hear from you. And you can still call in during prayer and share. And if you've already given, I would just ask that you call maybe after 10 o'clock in the morning. Because the mornings are really, really busy with people calling, making donations. But after 10, from 11 to 2 is an awesome time to call in. And you can tell us how long you've been listening, how long you've been giving. And you can share with us some of your God story. And we love to do that. And we always have those that come on air. So all of you who give early, it is a tremendous blessing. We will read each donation on air. That's the plan. Maybe we miss one out of, you know, 1,000 or something. We try to read every one of them. But we want you to know that every gift of every size is what makes this ministry possible for you. So thank you so much for planning now to be a part of that. You will be receiving mail?
Yeah.
You finished the mail?
Yesterday we wrapped up our mailing, getting ready for, I think it's going in Friday to the post office.
Several thousand. Letters are ready to go out.
Yep.
And so they will be going out this Friday. Look for those in the mail. And those of you who receive or give by online electronic methods, if we have your email, we will endeavor to send it by email. And so if you get both, you can choose to read both or whichever one works best. All right, I wanted to mention that on the 22nd, there's going to be a Treasure Coast Day of Prayer. Thursday, September the 22nd, 6 o'clock to 8 p.m. at the Mid-Florida Event Center in Port St. Lucie, Florida. And the Treasure Coast Christian Alliance invites all of you to come and be a part of this prayer event. It is not going to be an event where we talk about praying. It's not going to be an event where people take the stage and there's sound systems and there's a lot of instrumentation. The chairs are going to be set in a circle and we're going to gather to pray. And we're going to pray for the Treasure Coast and our nation, our families. There are so many areas of need because we are confident that God answers his people when we pray. And so I invite you to make this a priority. Put it on your calendar. September, that's a Thursday, September the 22nd, 6 o'clock to 8 p.m. And you can come and stay for 10 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour, or for the full 2 hours, however long you're able to stay. And you may say, well, I can't make it there by 6. Well, if you can make it by 7, come at 7. If you can make it at 7:30, come at 7:30. And come and pray with us as we lift up our hearts to God for his mercy and a great awakening on the Treasure Coast of Florida, and not just on the Treasure Coast, but our nation as well. All right, we do have Ma and Paul, and then we're going to get to our dear friend, Miss Brenda, who is going to share some awesome things with us today. Ma and Paul, we always like to have them in the studio, and it looks like, Ma was out of town. We just had Paul last week.
Yeah, I missed her a whole lot.
Missed her a whole lot, I know, and you got into trouble too. So now that Ma's back, I can count on her to get you straightened out.
It was 3 days of weeping before
of weeping, okay. Well, our lives can be seen as a series of connected events. And sometimes when we take a moment to consider our past, we wonder how we ever made it to where we are now. And when we observe the landscape of our history with all the peaks, valleys, and U-turns, it's a marvel that we continue to have the peace of God. Yet, for believers, the ongoing work of God's grace is for our daily living, redeems the rough places we've been through. Our faith is restored, and it's strengthened. And Ma and Paul know this, and today's conversation simply underscores God's restorative intentions.
Hey, Maya, you got a minute?
Yeah, I got just a minute. I got an appointment downtown at the beauty parlor.
You do? Well, then, you don't want to let me take you, or rather, you do want to let me take you there because I got to run by the auto parts store anyway. You know, while you're having your hair worked on, I can get some stuff to tune up my pickup, and they opened up a new section in the store for mud flaps.
Mud flaps? What's that all about?
Well, old Jonathan at WCNO called me yesterday. It seems their 1998 Jeep Grand Cherokee, what they used to drive out to the tower, ain't doing so well.
That's the one they named Wobbly, because that previous owner removed that front stabilizer bars for better off-roading. Is that the one?
Yeah, that's the one. And on pavement, it kind of wobbles at highway speeds. But it works like gangbusters at the tower, because all them roads are dirt. And often, like right now with all the rain, well, them roads are nothing but mud.
So that's why you're so interested about mud flaps? You're going to take old Jonathan out to the tower until their Jeep is repaired?
That's right, Ma. I got the time. And they don't know anybody else that's got a four-wheel drive. Besides, spending time with old Jonathan will give me the chance to school him on a topic that he's still mighty ignorant of, the life and psychology of the chicken.
Oh, Paul, you really think old Jonathan needs more information on chickens?
Well, you remember that 2.5 years ago when we heard him talking about chickens during the fundraiser? You'll also remember that I was in the hen house at that time tending to our wonderful little flock, and we were all listening to WCNO when he started to discuss how the eggs were obtained from the chicken.
Oh, I do remember that, Pa. I was in the kitchen washing the dishes when I heard him suggest that a chicken had to be shaken up and down to get the eggs out. Or maybe you just squeezed them real hard and the eggs popped out. And at that point, the radio was drowned out by that horrible squawking that came from the hen house.
Oh, Ma. If only he had known how profoundly sensitive a chicken is. How easily their tender little hearts are crushed by the wrong things people believe about them and speak of in public. Now, I know old Jonathan wasn't being mean when he offered those gruesome speculations on the air. Yet, any chicken within the hearing of that broadcast would have been immediately thrust into a tragic emotional whirlwind, leaving their delicate psyches shredded in its wake.
Well, I know he had to spend over a week with their chickens to get him calmed down.
Yeah. And if it weren't for Dr. Avril Pinkelblatter, it would have taken longer.
You know, Paul, I was amazed we could find such a chicken psychologist so fast. I can't imagine that such a field endeavor would draw many folks at all.
Oh, I asked him about that. He said he worked with people for most of his professional life, but he got tired of dealing with all the complex psychological aberrations folks deal with. When he discovered how simple chickens were and how needy they were for emotional balance, he shifted his practice immediately.
Yeah, I remember he really gave you an education, Paul.
He really did. And it sure came in handy when that bottle of Nair exploded in the hen house.
Oh, yes, I do remember that, Paul. You never told me why that stuff ended up with the chickens.
Well, I didn't mean for it to stay in the hen house. I'd taken it out of your medicine cabinet because I wanted to experiment on a raccoon pelt I had in the barn, you know, to see if I could get all the fur off of it. Because I'd read in Popular Farming that raccoon skin made the best work gloves, and I was going to make me a pair.
Oh, Paul, you didn't trap a raccoon for that, did you?
Heaven's sakes, no. It was roadkill. I found it on the way home from town one afternoon. I just read the article that morning, and here was this bloated carcass on the side of the road. It was an opportunity I just couldn't pass up.
And you figured that Nair would take care of deferring that raccoon?
That I did. But I went to the hen house first and laid the bottle on a shelf while I tended to the hens. Then my cell phone went off and I took the call and I got distracted. And I walked off, forgetting that bottle of Nair. And you know, in the summer heat, them chemicals were excited to the point of a catastrophic expansion. Now, I should have known that anything that smells as vile as Nair would have some unstable exotic ingredients. I mean, they probably make it in the same production line as chemical weapons anyway. Can you imagine the devastation that would occur if they dropped several tons of Nair onto the average city?
Oh, it sure would be a huge catastrophe. Buildings would melt, streets would crumble, and every hairdresser would be put out of business.
The truth is, if all our enemies knew that Nair was more devastating than atomic bombs, all them ballistic missiles would have warheads jam-packed with the stuff. Why, a nationwide bombardment would literally wipe out our economy, since so much of our industry is related to hair.
Well, fortunately, all that's still a well-kept secret. And the devastation we experienced in the hen house was serious enough.
True. But we finally did get them chickens to calm down. But you know, if it wasn't for old Jonathan's unintended fear-mongering, we wouldn't have hired Dr. Pinkelblatter, and we wouldn't have learned so much. And we wouldn't have had such a rich and diverse archive of chicken psychology knowledge to share with others.
You know, while you've been talking, I got to think about how the many events we just discussed seem to be actually linked together with a purpose. You know, as if the Lord might have a hand in it.
I'm of the same mind, Ma. And I'm reminded of Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose."
Exactly, Pa. Whether we know it or not, God is always involved in our lives, pouring out his grace for our Christian journey and leading us from moment to moment, blessing us and others along the way.
And even redeeming a difficult event, like the upset among our hens, so that through the course of several connected events, his love restores and edifies his people.
I believe you're right, Paul. When we look back on our past experiences, we see this constant godly management of events so that the outcomes always bring him glory.
My goodness, how awesome is our God. Well, I've enjoyed our conversation, but we better get you to the beauty parlor. They're going to want to get to work on you as soon as possible.
What?
And old Jonathan told me they had a lot of gators and feral logs out near the tower. So in addition to mud flaps, I'm going to see if I can get me a case of Nair. If we come under attack, one open bottle thrown right at them should scatter them.
Well, we don't know if Paul's theory about Nair as a defensive weapon is accurate. But when they talked about God's grace restoring and redeeming our lives, well, we know that that is true. We hope you know that too. And until next time, From Ma and Pa, may God's rich blessings bring you peace, hope, and joy. Constitution Day.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, that was a radical shift, wasn't it?
Pull that mic up, Brenda. Let's jump right into this. We're going to have a couple segments with you. We're going to kind of break at the bottom of the hour and have a new program that's going to be on air, a couple minutes with him. But let's get right into Constitution Day. What is Constitution Day? And tell us what's on your heart.
Well, it's the day that we honor when they actually voted for the Constitution.
Okay.
So you had delegates from the different colonies. Not all of them. I don't think Rhode Island ever sent representatives. And they kind of foresaw that because they had 50 attempts at pulling the colonists together into a nation. And so by the time they went into the Constitution, the convention, they had decided that when they ratified, it would only be by 3/4 of the states, and it would be for those 3/4. And so at that point, they treated Rhode Island like Rogue Island. That's literally what they
Rogue
called
Island.
Her.
Yes. Okay.
Huh. So she finally came in. But it's to honor that day.
Okay.
And you can see in the preamble to the Constitution, which Governor Morris was responsible for because he was concerned that there might be a generation that hadn't read it and wasn't taught it. So we really are that generation, aren't we? And that's not by accident. That's by design. We've had people infiltrate our education system who have not wanted us to know our heritage. And it reminds me of that scripture in Galatians 4:1, if I can pull this up real quick, where it says, "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all." Isn't that good? And so we're so concerned about our nation. We're seeing decisions made that aren't godly, that, you know, we're worried about our children. We're worried about the debt. We're worried about the inflation. We see all these decisions being made. But my call to the people of God is to learn the heritage that we have. And I get to teach high school students American government. It's so fun. But what I'm finding is a lot of the parents, a lot of people our age, we're realizing we've been ripped off and we want to find out what our heritage is. And so that's what I get to do is teach our Constitution. I've got a new class starting Monday. But I'd like to just read the preamble just to kind of give us a background.
Let's do that. And maybe we can mention we have a few of these here at the radio station. It's kind of like the pocket Constitution of the United States. We have some here thanks to you, Brenda. And if somebody would like to have one, you can stop by the station. Or if you would like to have one mailed to you, as long as we have some with us, we will underwrite the expense to get that into your hands if that's something you're going to read and make a part of your life.
Nice. Yeah, that's wonderful. So here it is. "We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America." So you see, first of all, we the people are the ones who ratified it. And the founders insisted that ratification process be by the people, not by the states, not by the delegates of the states. That's why it was sent back to each state. And then they had conventions. And when they read it, it was a new form of government. And so there was a lot of controversy, concern. And that's where the Federalist Papers came out that explain exactly what they were discussing and why they are proposing these different elements in the Constitution. So really, reading the Federalist Papers gives us a firsthand resource in what the original intent was.
Amen. Amen. So when you came in this morning, I said, "Now what is the Holy Spirit putting on your heart?"
Well, listen to this quote from Samuel Adams. But neither the wisest constitution nor the wisest laws will secure the liberty and happiness of a people whose manners are universally corrupt. He, therefore, is the truest friend of the liberty of his country, who tries most to promote its virtue, and who, so far as his power and influence extend, will not suffer a man to be chosen into any office of power and trust who is not a wise and virtuous man. So we can all vote wisely.
Yes.
And that's one of the things, I mean, we're going into a general election, and every time we have an election, people say, this is the most important election we've ever had. But don't you feel like that?
Mm-hmm. I do feel like that. And you not only said wise, but virtuous.
Yes.
You know, we've lost, I believe, far too much virtue in our political system. And many times we go, well, you know, this is politics, you know, and it's not. But having character and not just being a character, but having character and having virtue in your life, that was an importance of our foundation, and it still is so needed today. And I just looking at how many people seem to start with one message, and then somewhere along the line I see a big wobble in the way they vote. I mean, our politicians, the stands they fail to take, and the positions they begin to take. And I wonder if that isn't because there just wasn't enough thought put into, are these people, are they virtuous? Do they have character that's going to stand? Now, we're going to come back to you in just a few moments, and we're going to have maybe 10, 15 minutes toward the close of our program today. And so I know you have some thoughts to share with our listeners. First, I want to put a call out to Dr. Lambert. Dr. Lambert, let's see if we can get him on the phone. And Karen, give the contact information here at the station so people will know how to get a hold of us. And let's just promote this little book one more time.
Yes, you can reach us here at 888-221-8990. You can also go to the website, WCNO.com, if you'd like to put in a prayer request or if you have a comment. And earlier when Jonathan was talking about the power situation, and if you're in those areas where the signal is not that great, don't forget you can download the WCNO app, and you can get that in, you know, either your iPhone or your Android.
Good word. And we do have these pocket The Constitution of the United States available. You can give us a call. And let's see if we can connect with Dr. Lambert here this morning.
I'm here.
Dr. Lambert, welcome to WCNO. I know that you have a history of having been with us on this station. That was a little while back, but the exciting thing is you are returning actually this week. Thursday will be the return of your program. And your program is going to be entitled The Real Truth, and that will be on Tuesdays and Thursdays, 11 a.m., and again at 11:30 p.m. Now, Dr. Lambert, welcome. Say hello to everybody, and tell us why you're coming back to radio. What's God doing in your life?
Well, hello, everyone. My former listeners with WCNO, we're happy to be back on the air. And we're happy to be working with Jonathan McClain, the manager of the station, and we're just excited about what God's doing in this last hour. We have many times thought that change is a bad thing, and when you use the word change in most churches, you can feel tangible waves of consternation flowing through you. Through the auditorium. But the fact of the matter is, our God that we serve is a God of change. Three times in just one prophetic book, the book of Isaiah, God talks about change. And he talks about, I will do a new thing. Well, a new thing automatically means that the old thing is passé. The old thing is not apropos anymore, because there's a new thing coming to replace the old thing. And that's where we're at now. God is a God of new things, much more than people are. People don't like new things very much, unless it's a new expensive car or something like that.
Right.
But in terms of their lifestyle, and especially with regards to what they have believed for many years, they don't like to see change. And many people are of the devil. Well, change is not of the devil. Satan wants to keep things exactly the way they are, because right now, Satan is the god of this world. Jesus called him the prince, the ruler, and the god of this world three different occasions in the New Testament. And so while we have a song, a great hymn that says this is our Father's world, it is our Father's world. However, Satan is the ruler of this world at this time. But God wants to change that. God wants to bring the body of Christ into a place of purification so that it can come into a place of glorification. And that is preparing us for the next eschatological event that will take place in heaven, and which is the marriage supper of the Lamb. And God is coming back to claim his children. And Jesus is standing right at the door. I believe that. And that's why we're in this hour of great stress and distress. And while it's not the great tribulation, it's certainly tribulation. I always say, Jonathan, every time I have a problem, it's the great tribulation. But it's really not, according to Bible eschatology. But God is moving in this last hour. And what he wants us to do is be in a place of being ready for change, to do what God has called us all to do, both collectively and individually in the body of Christ.
I love it. I welcome you back to WCNO. Again, Dr. Lambert, Dr. Stephen Lambert, his program, The Real Truth, is returning to WCNO. It will air Tuesday and Thursday mornings, 11 a.m., also at 11:30 p.m., and we are excited about that taking place. You know, Dr. Lambert, I know that there may be some who haven't got this yet, but the Scripture does say that that we become a new creation. If any is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things pass away and all things behold new. I'm ready to see more of that take place, not just in the world, but also in the church. So I welcome you to the airwaves here at WCNO, and we're so glad to have you coming back to join with us.
That's a perfect scripture to talk about. That's exactly what God's doing, and we need to be a new creature in Christ.
Amen.
And we need to let some old things pass away.
Amen.
Instead of propping them up as if they're still alive. Well,
amen.
They're dead. God's already issued a death certificate. And so we need to get on board with the new thing that God is doing. And that's what our program is going to be about, talking about the new things that God is doing. And we're thrilled to be back on WCNO. Mm. As you said, it's been a while, but we're excited about what God is doing now.
Well, Dr. Lambert, I know that I sort of called you to the phone, and you are traveling today. I wonder if you would have just a moment to lift up our listeners today and pray over our state and our nation and call forth that anointing that can break every chain of the devil and bring the changes that we need.
Absolutely. Heavenly Father, you're a good God, and that's how we see you. And that's how we know you best.
Amen.
As the God that is good all the time.
Amen.
And you never fail with your goodness. It's impossible for you to fail. Despite how everything looks in our nation today, you are still the Lord of God's people. You are the God of the redeemed. And the redeemed should say so.
Amen.
Everywhere
Amen.
We go, we should say so.
Amen.
That we're the redeemed. And the God that rules over our lives is the God of the redeemed.
Amen.
He's the God of new things, not of the old, not of the dead, not of the passé, but of new and a new and living way.
Amen.
And we thank you that there's better things ahead, that when you return, that you are going to find a people that believes in your Son.
Yes.
And that is glorifying your Son and not just glorifying themselves with self-centered and foolish and childish things.
Good.
But they have given themselves to being recreated in Christ.
Amen.
And having the power of God operating in their life. And Lord, we know that the ultimate answer lies in the fact of what Jesus said. He gathered his disciples together and he said, it's not the time for you to know the times of, and epochs of which the Father has set on his own timetable, but rather you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost
Amen.
Has come upon you. And that's what we're looking to receive in this
Amen.
Last hour.
Amen.
The answer is power. The
Amen.
Answer Amen. Is dunamis power, from
Amen.
Which the Greek word, from which the word
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We may have lost Dr. Lambert, but we certainly did not lose the message.
Amen.
Amen. Dr. Lambert, we lost you there, and so maybe you're at a place where we're not able to pull you in. But thank you so much for joining us this morning. Again, the program entitled The Real Truth will begin this week on Thursday at 11 a.m., again at 11:30, following Lamplighter Theater.
Yes, in the evenings.
In the evenings, yes, in the evenings. Tuesdays and Thursdays at 11 a.m. and 11:30 p.m. Tune in for The Real Truth with Dr. Stephen Lambert. All right, we are back to Constitutionist Miss Brenda McMenamin. Now we have a day of celebration coming up, but what can we do? Dr. Lambert saying it's time for change.
Oh, that's so good, isn't it?
It's time for change.
And I think we're all feeling that.
Yes.
I think we're all, God is gifting us with the gift of faith and a conviction of he's redeeming. How can I get involved?
Yes.
And so I want to share a little bit about the
good.
History.
Let's do it.
Because the very first state constitution was inspired by a pastor, Reverend Thomas Hooker. He taught his people in 1638 principles from Deuteronomy 1:13-15, where he says, choose from among you men that are, and this is based on Exodus 18:21, men that are able, that fear God, that love truth, and will not take a bribe.
Wow, that's excellent.
So those men then wrote the first state constitution, and that Connecticut constitution profoundly affected the Constitutional Convention and the writing of our Constitution. So I bring that to our knowledge.
That's awesome.
So that we know biblical principles were what grounded the Constitution. And John Adams said the Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people.
Yeah.
So now you hear so many Christians saying, oh, politics is dirty, I don't want anything to do with it. Well, it's dirty because we've left that responsibility to people that don't know God.
Right.
And we can't really blame them for making wrong decisions.
True.
And for being selfish or, you know, taking bribes and not fearing God. Those that fear God, that are able, that won't take a bribe and love truth, need to get back into the arena.
Back into the arena.
And we need to support the ones that do go. Because Reverend Thomas Hooker, he never became, that I know, a representative.
Mm-hmm.
But he trained the men to do so. And so we've got to see, and I just encourage pastors to start reading the word with that. Because every time I read the word through each year, I'm like, well, what does God say about whatever? You know,
right.
One time I read it, what does God hate? And that's when I became solidly pro-life, because I saw he wants us to take care of the widows and the orphans and those unjustly sentenced to death. And so that's his very heartbeat. So if we read through, it's like, what does God really say about policy setting? What does he really want his people to do? Well, he wants us to be the head and not the tail.
Yeah.
He wants us to be those that serve and rule through serving. And so I just encourage listeners of WCNO, all of y'all, get involved somehow. Vote. Don't vote for the ones that are promising you the most. Vote for those that fear God and won't take a bribe.
Amen. And that starts in our, it starts in our home. And in many of our families, at least I can talk about my family, in many of our families, a revival is needed.
Yeah.
Because when we see a lack of maybe interest or a lack of righteousness, there is something that is not right. When Jesus saw what was going on, he was moved to do something.
Yeah.
He spoke up, he stood up, and they went after him to take his life because he did not accept what was going on in the temple as being what God wanted to have going on in the temple. You know, you're listening today and you're going, well, there's a lot of things going on I'm not pleased with. Well, we need to take a stand. I believe it's important that our family members, even if, now I'm going to be careful what I say, but, you know, I talk about our family getting together. We have the in-laws, we have the outlaws, and I believe the in-laws and outlaws ought to know that I'm a man of God and that I believe my faith needs to communicate and be a part of what's going on in the arena in my neighborhood in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts. And if God has given us a freedom to speak up, then why should the devil have the stage? Mm. We must take back the stage. And you say, well, they don't want to hear what I have to say. Well, a lot of people didn't want to hear what Jesus had to say. He still said it. He still said it. Well, they might get mad at me. They got mad at Jesus, but he took a stand. Well, but, you know, I don't think Christians should be involved in politics. Well, John, I think we call him the Baptist, not sure that he was a Southern Baptist or what variety, but John, he stood up against the political leaders and called sin what it was. And I've noticed this, Brenda, that when the church is silent, and I hear pastors say, well, I can't talk about that because I'd lose people. You know, we would lose half of our congregation if we got involved in all those issues. Sin is an issue that must be addressed. And because the church has been silent, how can we expect politicians to know the way? Mm. It's time for the church to stand up.
Amen.
And they really respond when they hear from a lot of people.
Yes.
They need to hear from us.
Yes. Yes. One way or the other, you know, they're going to respond, but silence is not a good position. Now, David, you have been pretty quiet, and I'm just going to pull myself back to be quieter for a moment.
Yeah. About... You want me to... What do you want me to do, my brother?
I want you to respond to the whole situation with Constitution Day and our people and with Brenda. You all have been talking. We have a program that's coming up.
That's right.
I want you to promote the program. I want you to talk about there's more of this coming, that Brenda's going to be on air here with us. Talk about it. Tell our people what's coming.
Yeah, well, I'm excited. And this was a Holy Spirit work.
It was.
That, and we engaged in a conversation at one point, and that just grew from there, but... the program is called Constitutional Conversations, and it's going to be a three-minute program that will be, I think we're going to hard set it for certain times, or at least, no, it's going to play throughout the weekdays and then hard set for Saturday.
Right.
So it'll be, I forget what
8:30
time. 8:30 on Saturday morning, so you can always find it there. Otherwise, it'll come into the system at various times, but it's going to be an ongoing education for our listeners concerning our Constitution and connectivity with other founding documents, the intentions of God as manifested through our founding fathers. And I think for us to say and to recognize that just because it's old don't mean it's bad, and that God gave these founding fathers 240-some years ago, is that about right, 250, gave them a template for government that he did not intend to have it changed.
Hmm.
And as Abraham Lincoln said in his second inaugural address, we quote him all the time,
his best distillation of the Constitution was that it promulgates a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. And I don't believe that, you know, what we need to have that reinstituted today, right, Brenda?
Very much.
And I believe God is going to use you, as he already has so many ways, to really speak the truth into the heart of the American people again. You're going to be one of many, because I know you're not alone in this. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But for our listeners in our region, our listening area, you're going to have a chance, and I really hope you take advantage of it, to daily get a wonderful, fresh infusion of truth about the foundations of this country.
I'm excited about this, and I just, this program is going to add a new voice from a new perspective for our listeners, and so I'm very excited about this taking place. But so our listeners know you a little better, Brenda. Why did you do this? Why did you study the Constitution, and why does it matter? I mean, why should we make this such a big deal today that the Constitution is important for us now in our history?
That is such a good question, because when I was younger, when I was in school, I hated history.
Ooh.
It was boring. I hated it. But when I began to teach my own children, I homeschooled for 22 years. And so as I began to learn history from a providential perspective, what is God doing? And in Psalm 78, it says to teach the mighty deeds of God to the next generation so they have faith in God and hope to obey his commands.
Isn't
that powerful?
That's excellent.
And you know who Abraham Lincoln was quoting? Jefferson said it very similarly to Abraham Lincoln, but they were quoting John Wycliffe, who said, the Bible is for the government of the people, by the people, and for the people.
There you go.
Isn't that incredible? And so when you learn, it's so inspiring to see who God has used over generations, over centuries, to glorify himself. And so you have a group of men who were profoundly affected by a great awakening in the 1730s and reasoned biblically. God gets all the glory for their stand in the Declaration of Independence. Their battle cry was literally, no other king but King Jesus. They could have gone along to get along, but it was their love and their fear of God Almighty that helped them stand and then create the document, the Constitution. When you look at it from the original intent, it's based on biblical principles. And I teach that. If anyone wants to learn more, because I'm going to be sharing on WCNO, but I also go through the Constitution from Article 1 all the way through to the last amendment, and I'm going to start a new class this next Monday. So if you want to learn more about that, go to teachinghisstory.com.
There you go. So your program is going to be educational.
Yes.
But it's not just going to be information. We should be able to apply to our thoughts, to our life, and to what's going on in our world, what you're going to be sharing, right?
Yes, I'll be sharing quotes, I'll be sharing scriptures, I'll be praying, and our faith will be built, and we will just naturally get involved and start seeking the Lord. How can I be part of what you, God, are doing?
Amen. We have just a few minutes left, but I'm thinking about what Dr. Lambert said about change. Mm-hmm. And many people will say, well, you know, we've just gone too far. You know, we've lost too much ground. But we didn't get here by things being the same as they were on the original foundation. We have drifted.
Yes.
Have we not?
Yes, we have. But listen to what Thomas Jefferson said. I know no safe depository of the ultimate powers of the society but the people themselves. And if we think them not enlightened enough to exercise their control with a wholesome discretion, the remedy is not to take it from them, but to inform their discretion by education. This is the true corrective of abuses of constitutional power.
So what does that mean, Brenda?
It means don't give up.
Good.
But learn the original intent and conduct yourself accordingly.
Yes.
There's a lot that we can do.
And again, Dr. Lambert made this spiritual. He said, you shall receive power. Yes. We are not alone. We are, today you're listening. Many of you are godly people. Many of you are leaders, and you're listening today. And God has a wind that has moved the sail of our nation. Yeah. This has not been some great idea that a few people came up with. Mm-hmm. There has been an anointed move of the Holy Spirit that has protected us in so many ways and guided us in so many ways. And so once again, we recognize the importance of restoration of the foundations and restoration of truth and that virtue and that righteousness of our leaders to raise them up. We have some voting that's going to happen soon, do we not?
Yes, in November. What is that, the 8th? I don't know off the top of my head.
Oh, I'll check
but
it
I'm
out.
But I'm pretty sure it's Tuesday, November 8th.
So we have elections that are coming up. How important is it that people get involved in this?
Crucial. Yeah, that's November 8th, the second Tuesday. And so my daughter and I are poll watchers.
Excellent.
For the first time this time.
Excellent.
And that was really fun. I was expecting
Talk about that. How can people get involved in that? We have at least one family in our congregation that's involved in that as well.
If they want to get in touch with me, I'll get them in touch. I am hesitant to give her number over the
gotcha.
Air.
Gotcha. Okay.
But
that's fine.
I can leave it with you and maybe you can...
No, just give your website, however people can get
a
hold of you.
Teachinghisstory.com and just fill out the form on the bottom and I'll get with you. But it was wonderfully patriotic. And
Excellent. Here
you had a poll watcher from each party.
Yep.
And so I was kind of wondering how that would go. And I can honestly say it was a very enjoyable experience.
Praise
but
God.
We were there to just observe because our liberty is founded in jealousy. You hear a lot of quotes from the founding fathers. And how hard do we work and get someone in that we love, that we trust? And then we tend to say, oh, I'm going to relax for a couple of years. But they warned us, the founders warned us, you have to keep them. You have to watch them and hold them accountable.
Yes. And what I like about this is it's a practical way that people can get involved. You can be retired. What's the amount of commitment for that? There is some training, right?
It was a 45-minute training online.
Okay.
And then you go and you pick up your badges. And then I served for, I think it was a five-hour spot. But this time I'm going to be with my daughter, so I can hardly wait
that
to go
excellent.
Back and serve again. Yeah,
that is excellent. It's excellent. So, Karen, you've been traveling around the world here over the last few weeks. And how important is this?
It's very important. Because whoever does not do the work is going to suffer. Because there are other people that are very active and, out there mobilizing. As you were talking earlier about the trying to bring restoration, trying to bring people back into knowing the Constitution, I just am seeing this wrestling. We have to wrestle back the original intent of the Constitution by making people aware. And, your teaching and all that you've done, as a teacher is very helpful, but it's people need to take action on what they have learned. And then, again, those of us that are older, I have to admit I don't know much about the Constitution.
We're going to learn.
We're going
more.
To learn.
We're
going to
learn
producing
more.
Producing your program, and yes, it's time for us to take back really what God had intended from the beginning, and to get involved.
And this is the work of God. God dwells in truth, and the work of the Holy Spirit is to lead us and guide us into truth. And so we know that all truth is from God, and in our nation. I think there are people who are living with a level of regret because where we are today is the result of, in part, inactivity.
That's right.
Silence, sleeping on our watch. But it's not too late to take a stand. So
good.
Body of Christ, rise up, be who God's called you to be, And we want to just, again, call you to revival. We're believing God for a great anointing of the Holy Spirit to once again awaken hearts, awaken the lost, because only the Holy Spirit can do that. We can't wake people up. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. And so we pray today, Father, that you would awaken the hearts of those in our nation that are asleep.
Yes, Father.
Some